This week's episode of The Dive is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. For nearly 30 years, Pelican Brewing has crafted the most balanced tasting brews. Now, they're bringing the same satisfying taste to hop-infused sparkling water with zero alcohol and zero calories. Sparkle Hops is a hop and fruit-infused new way to elevate your everyday. Expertly brewed from hops in two flavors, Citra hop-infused sparkling water with lemon and Strata hop-infused sparkling water with acai. Start with a sip and breeze away with the balance of quality hops, ripe fruit, and punchy fizz. Refreshment, it's a Pelican thing. Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show. Men are the problem. I said what I said. Take, for instance, the situation currently facing Portland's beloved Thorns, our women's soccer team owned by Merritt Paulson, who also owns the Timbers. When presented with sexual abuse allegations by Thorns team members who were being manipulated by their own coach, Merritt just kind of performatively fired said coach. Oh my god, cue the applause. And then sent him away with, what? Not a warning that he might be a serial sexual abuser, but glowing words of recommendation. And so the coach coached on. Does this sound familiar? Yeah, of course it does. It's Saturday, November 26th, and this is episode 99 of The Dive. Today I'm talking to my pod pal, Anthony Effinger, about his cover story, Will Merritt Paulson Prune the Thorns? A deep dive into the soccer scandal that has shaken Portland's show-stopping Thorns and Timbers soccer teams and their powerfully progressive social justice-minded fan bases, leaving both fans and players wondering how the teams can move forward with ownership that prioritizes saving face over protecting players. Anthony and I will unpack the heck out of the story in just one sec, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Nigel Jaquis reports that Oregon will soon have the largest caucus of Vietnamese lawmakers in the USA. Congratulations to Toi Tran, Can Pham, Hai Pham, Daniel Nguyen, and Hoa Nguyen. Sophie Peel reports that drivers deactivated or suspended by Uber or Lyft have only a toothless city watchdog to advocate for them when they contest their suspensions, which is especially messy for drivers who may experience racially motivated, empty complaints that result in deactivation because all they can do is arbitrate. Both services require drivers to sign contracts that prevent suing. On the back pages, Willamette Week's official 2022 gift guide has dropped, and there's lots of good local stuff in there. And this is really special, actually. Illustrator Mackenzie Young-Roy illustrated a Winter Wonder coloring page. It's so cute! Color in yours and tweet us your masterpieces. Tis the season. All right, now let's chat with Anthony Effinger about his cover story, Will Merritt Paulson Prune the Thorns?
You know, the Thorns just won their third championship, right? And there's a massive controversy going on. There's a scandal going on that's been brewing for 7 years, since 2015, when the former coach, you know, allegedly sexually harassed two players on the Thorns. And, you know, this is starting to come to a head now because the USA Soccer, the governing body, put out a report in October that said that this guy harassed two Thorns players, and the Thorns management basically swept it under the rug, right? They did an inquiry when it happened back in 2015, when the players came to them and said, this is happening. They did do an inquiry and they did fire him. That's let's be clear. They did take action. Mm-hmm. But the guy went on to coach at other clubs because the Thorns didn't tell the other clubs that this had happened. They covered for him. They said, you know, one of the guys at the Thorns and the, you know, the Thorns and the Timbers management is the same, right? At the top, it's Merritt Paulson. It was Gavin Wilkinson. And it was Mike Golub. And it's very centralized, the management of both teams. And they let this guy kind of go on to other clubs. And, you know, they said things like, you know, you're lucky to have him. Merritt Paulson said, you know, good job on hiring this guy. I'm very fond of him. I mean, so this all comes out about a year ago in an article in The Athletic, which is an amazing online publication that got to the bottom of this. And they deserve all the credit because that's what spurred the inquiries that USA Soccer did, right? So, but not much happened after the Athletic article, right? But then when USA Soccer's report came out on October 3rd, just, you know, a month and a half ago, well, that's when everything started to happen. That's when Gavin Wilkinson and Mike Golub, the two top deputies of Merritt Paulson, got fired. And when that wasn't enough, Merritt Paulson stepped away as CEO of both teams.
The Thorns
Okay?
and
And
the
still,
Timbers.
yeah. And now, you know, it's still not clear if that's enough for advertisers, for fans, for the community. And so now the question is, what does he do? What else can he do besides sell the teams? Well, we may have found an answer this week because we learned that he's negotiating to sell the Thorns. So he's thinking, I sell the Thorns, maybe I get to keep the Timbers. That's what we hear. Now they won't talk to us about this. They're, you know, they won't comment, and the buyer that they're negotiating with won't comment
Who's the
beyond
buyer?
saying the buyer is a group right now led by a woman named Melanie Strong, who was at Nike for a long time and did some work on, you know, more just pay for women, you know, more fair pay. She has a venture firm that she started with Lance Armstrong. And it's not clear if her firm or Lance Armstrong are involved in the deal. We don't know. We just don't know. But she's apparently leading a group. And they are apparently talking to Merritt Paulson about doing a deal for the Thorns, paying something like 30 to 50 million bucks and separating the team from the Timbers. Yeah.
When does the report comes out in October, right?
Yeah, this October, yep. Just like a month and a half ago, yep.
So the allegations were already out. What did the report uncover that was so much more damning than the abuse allegations that all of a sudden now everybody's fired and Merritt Paulson's stepping down as CEO?
I think because it wasn't just a report from a news organization, but rather it was a report from an official body, the US Soccer Federation, aka US Soccer. So what you have there is you had a woman named Sally Yates, who was a former U.S. attorney, right? Used to be a U.S. attorney for the government, you know, in I think it was Georgia. She spent a year looking at this, and she talked to everybody. And she came back and she said, "Yeah, this happened. This happened." And that having it be in an official report and having another sort of source of these allegations really tip things over. But yeah, I think it's really okay. So they did put, I think they put Gavin Wilkinson on, he wasn't suspended, but he was, you know, on kind of on waivers after the Athletic report, but nobody got fired. And again, this was from 2015. This is the allegations come from 2015 when this coach, Paul Riley, you know, was sexually harassing Sinead Farrelly and Mona Shim. And you know, and you know, saying sort of like, "Hey, I'm really into you. You know, you better accept my advances, or you're not going to get playing time." And
Oh
it was this
no.
classic power. And I got to tell you, the Thorns were not alone. I mean, something like half the coaches in the NWSL lost their jobs. What was it, between 2015 and 2020? I mean, it's like almost like, and look, we don't want to go too far with this, but it's almost like institutionalized abuse of these women by powerful men who are the coaches. You know, and you talk to some people and they'll say, yeah, this is like, it's just, it's so widespread and so rampant. So the Thorns are not alone. I think the difference with the Thorns and the Timbers and Merritt Paulson and his deputies is that in the report from Sally Yates, the one that just came out in October, the official one, they said the Thorns management stonewalled us. They did. They were not forthcoming. They used what they called specious legal arguments to block us from getting the information we need. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's another layer, right?
Yeah.
That's where it's like, it's not just the crime, it's the cover up. So it just layered, right? It just layers on top of it. Like, well, okay, wait, you said you were going to be forthcoming, but you got Sally Yates, a former U.S. attorney, saying she couldn't get all the info she needed from you. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, by the way, the Thorns Timbers management will say, we gave them all these documents. We gave them 300 documents, thousands of pages, and we made everybody available, right? So that's their side of the story. Mm-hmm. So that's important. But it wasn't enough for Sally Yates. Now, there's going to be another report before the end of the year mm-hmm. from the National Women's Soccer League and the NWSL Players Association, and everybody's waiting for that. So when that drops, we're going to learn even more. And I think everybody, you know, some people are saying that's going to be worse. Some people are thinking, well, maybe it exonerates, you know, at least some of this behavior. Mm-hmm. And at least we'll learn, you know, where the players are on this. But, I mean, the players have been out there, you know, and they're pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can go look on, you know, you can go find all sorts of commentary from the players on the Thorns who are like, what in the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's another thing we got to look for in the next, I guess, what are we, in November here? It's supposed to be like probably 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I guess it could be tomorrow. I don't know. Ooh. Yeah.
Is this the first time that these events have played out? Like, oh, well, you got to sell the team. Well, okay, everybody's got to get fired. Is an example being made of Merritt Paulson?
That's interesting. I think I would say right now, no, because most of the criticism and anger toward him is local. The leagues have been really, the men's league, U.S. soccer, and the NWSL have been pretty hands-off.
Sure.
I mean, the men's league commissioner is very tight with Merritt Paulson's dad, Hank Paulson. And Hank Paulson is a very wealthy man. Mm-hmm. So he funded the money for Merritt to buy the team back in 2009. He fronted the dough. Mm-hmm. He's the majority owner of this team. Well, he also happens to be a fly fishing buddy of the commissioner of MLS. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's very cozy. Mm-hmm. and the question is, you know, so far, he answered one question. The commissioner said, you know, I don't see any reason for Merritt to sell this team. And the NWSL, the Women's League, has said, we need to see this report that I just described.
Yeah.
We need to see this report before we do anything.
Yeah.
So the leagues aren't pushing, at least right now.
Yeah.
So you know who it is? It's like the Riveters are pushing hard, mm-hmm. right? You know, and there are people out there, and I think, you know, this is pretty accepted. They're not just a fan club. They are a movement about social change.
Right. Yeah, I want to talk about the Riveters a little bit. What is they have a nonprofit that represents them? Is that normal?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, they've got to be among the most organized fan clubs in the country. The nonprofit is called the 107 Independent Supporters Trust, and they go by 107ist. Mm-hmm. And it's named after the section of the stadium where they all go, where the Timbers, Army, and the Riveters sit and go crazy every game. I found a guy at the University of Rhode Island who's studying the Riveters as a movement for social change and, you know, overthrowing sort of heteronormative sort of soccer male-dominated fandom, right? Yeah. They are taking this stuff back from, you know, who you think of as being classic soccer fans, sure. right? And so they are a really unusual force in soccer. And, you know, they're something to be reckoned with, right? I mean, they're probably the worst adversary for Merritt Paulson to have, right? A lot of these folks have been subjected to sexual abuse. They've dealt with sexual discrimination because, you know, it's very sexually diverse, gender diverse mm-hmm. group. And they just think this is nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got men in power using their power to abuse women.
Yeah.
I mean, what? It's just not going to fly with pretty much anybody, especially this group.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the real tension is.
There's the possibility that he sells it to this VC or associated with
you'd call her the former Nike venture capitalist. Melanie Strong. Yeah.
What about the, fan owned teams? Is that in the discussion at all since there is fandom? It is.
Yeah. So the Oregonian reported, a few weeks ago that, there were two people who had put together groups to buy these teams. One was Melanie. Mm-hmm. Though they didn't report that there were negotiations or any of the price. That's what we added to the story. But they also reported that, and this is out there, these guys have a website now, there's a group of fans called Onward Rose City that are trying to raise money from fans to buy the teams. And they have commitments. They don't have the cash in hand yet, but they have commitments for like $9 million.
Nice.
Okay, now it sounds like a lot of money, but when you're trying to buy a soccer team, it's not much,
yeah.
Right? There was an outside group, an investment fund that took a stake in the Timbers and Thorns last year. They took a 15% stake, and according to what they paid for that 15% stake, the teams are worth $600 million. So they got a ways to go.
Woo!
Right? You're not gonna get anywhere with $9 million. But look, it's a good faith effort.
Yeah.
Who knows, right? Fan-owned teams are a big deal in Europe, you know. It's not unheard of. The Green Bay Packers are fan owned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their model. But like I say, they got a ways to go.
Yeah.
But they are really vocal. And, you know, when you ask these groups, especially when you ask the Riveters, is it enough for them to sell the Thorns? They're like, like, what makes you think if he's unfit to own one team that he's fit to own another?
Yeah. This guy gives me like, I'm looking at his picture right now, the paper's right next to me, and he really does give me like spoiled golden boy vibes.
Yeah. It's so sad because, like, you know, Merritt Paulson did, he came to town, he did what people thought was impossible, right? He built up first a men's team, he built up a women's team.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is it's the envy of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, he's been really supportive of women's soccer. Like, he's gone to bat when the league was, you know, when teams were shutting down and threatening the you know, stability of the league, he sent guys out to he sent managers out to talk to these teams and keep them in the league and say, keep going, this is going to work. So he really has been a proponent of this, right?
Yeah.
And he's got the winningest team. I mean, the Thorns are incredible.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And then to have this go on, it's just like, it's just almost like, so
can't have nothing,
you know. We can't have nice things.
We can't have nice things. Damn. What was the most compelling thing that you learned while you were reporting this?
I think what I always puzzle over is with things like this is how, you know, everybody thinks that the government and public agencies are screwed up beyond belief and are incompetent, right? And can't do anything right.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, private firms, private enterprises like the Thorns and the Timbers, which are run by a small group of mostly, I'd say, men, but was mostly men. It's changing now. But, you know, at the top, looks really successful on the outside. But, man, you scratch the surface on any of these organizations, and there's just, they are not well-oiled machines.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I got a little bit into the management system at the Thorns and the Timbers, and it sounds like kind of chaotic and almost like, in a way, they succeeded in spite of themselves sometimes.
Gosh.
You know, it's just, I mean, pardon the expression, see if you want to use this or not, but I mean, this is what you call stepping on your dick.
Consider that shit stolen. I'm using that in my everyday life.
Maybe tell me if that's not appropriate for this subject, but And I don't mean any offense, but that's what this is. I mean, these guys had it made.
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, and as soon as this stuff came up, as soon as you found out in 2015 and did your report and, you know, found out that these women on the team were telling the truth and there was something to their allegations, you fire the guy and you tell anybody who's thinking about hiring him that he's got a problem.
Yeah.
Right? They'll tell you, well, we didn't know what we could do legally, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, fine. At least don't go out and say, like, I'm very fond of him. You'd be lucky to have him, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what they said, according to the Yates report.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Gross.
Thanks to this week's guest, Anthony Effinger, and thank you for joining me. If you enjoy this podcast and WW's news and culture coverage, consider joining Friends of Willamette Week at wweek.com/support. Until next week, y'all. Bye. Thank you.